Let us pray. Lord, as we are about to read from your word, we pray that as we open this book in front of us, Lord, that you would also in the same way open our hearts and our minds. Lord, open our minds to an understanding of this word and our hearts to receive it, so that when we leave this place, that these words will become part of us, and that others might see you because of this. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Galatians chapter 5, where we will read from verse 1 through to verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, from verse 1 to 16. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness of which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I want to read that to you again. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut into you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that might be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross have been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Blessed are the words of our Lord. Wow, here we are. Brand new year, brand new minister for this congregation, a brand new life for my family and for myself, a brand new start for all concerned. And so we are all looking forward to a year that just brings so much promise. We are looking at 2017 with great expectation in our hearts, and we have great hopes for this year to come. But how many times before have we been exactly the same place? How many times have we greeted a new year with so much expectations? At the end of 2015, I was looking forward to 2016. I was just thinking this was going to be my year. And I was so positive. I just had this feeling inside of me that this year, 2016, was going to be remembered as one of the great ones. Yet come last night, many of us could not wait to say goodbye to 2016. And it was with joy that we greeted the new year. I hear some parts of our beautiful town actually made so much noise that the rest of us who didn't want to celebrate many had to join them. It was with great joy that we greeted 2016. And rightly so, 2017, sorry. And rightly so, one may argue, for as 2016 turned out to be a dreadful year for many. And I think many politicians would rather forget this year as soon as possible. And on a social front, we've discussed it this morning in the vestry as well, there's so many people, famous people, sportsmen, actors, singers, who've lost their lives in 2016. And I think even for this congregation, it must have been a difficult year. I can only imagine a tough year that it must have been. Without somebody here, maybe expecting to call somebody, being vacant, and you know all the problems that go with that. So it's with great expectation that we look forward to 2017. But come year after year, we can't wait for the old one to end. We can't wait for a new year to start. And at the end of this year, 2017, I can tell you now it will be no different. We will all celebrate that 2017 has come to an end, and we will have great expectations for 2018. That's just how life is. It seems to revolve in these cycles, and we're always looking forward to something that is new. And then, when we receive something new like this year, we get used to it, and it becomes old and boring, and all the same old problems arise again. Often, our religious life becomes like this. Often, we find ourselves trapped in a tedious cycle, and often our faith and the way in which we express our faith becomes nothing but a force of habit. And when that happens, when we express our faith in the deeds we do, and that's what we do around the church, and the things we do just so that we feel better as Christians, often we as Christ followers do these things because we feel obliged to do that. And when we do that, our hearts are not in it. And this whole faith life of us becomes like a millstone around our necks. It's like when you're in a career or doing a job you don't like. You feel trapped in a job. You feel like you are a slave to your work. And you feel that you're not free to come and go as you please. Often I think we also feel trapped in our faith. And so expressing our faith becomes a burden to us. Religion and the practices around it often leads to this. You know, we love to express our religion, of our faith actually, through our religion. Often, for myself, I'm proud to say that I'm a Presbyterian. I love the way we do things, and I'm quick to question the practices through which other believers express their faith. There's a chap called Andy Stanley. I've read his work, and he's a lead pastor of North Point in the USA, the big church, North Point, and he says, he's got a name for this. He says, this is what he calls the temple model. And when I first heard this word temple model, I couldn't help to think about the Jewish faith and the temple, the Jewish temple and the place where they worship, the temple of Solomon and the temple of King Herod. But you know that the temple model and the temple and the temple model of worship, it's not just a Jewish model of worship. In fact, the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans and all the other great nations of old, they had all their versions of the temple model of worship. And even in this day and age, the temple model of worship is prevalent. If you care to look around you, you would find that the temple model of worship is in our cities, in our towns. You would find them from the deserts of Africa and the deserts of Arabia. You would find them even in the mud hut religions of Africa. Yes, you would even find them there where they practice witchcraft and things like that. And he says, temple model of worship is based on a few things. And these things are always present in that type of worship. There's always sacred men. There's always sacred places. There's always a sacred text. There's always sacred rituals. And then there's always sincere followers. In the temple model of worship, there's always sacred men. And you can identify them because they dress differently. You'd walk into a space or a building and you would see that they are dressed differently than the rest of the guys. You wouldn't immediately know who the sacred men are. There's always sacred places. A place that's set aside, that's so sacred that people actually sometimes fear to go in that place. There's always sacred text. And those texts can only be interpreted by sacred men so that others will have to listen to them and others will have to need them to be able to worship in this model. And then there's always sacred rituals. Just think of the way witch doctors do their thing. They've got their little rituals and throwing their dice and their bones and their things. Even this morning on the news, on my computer, I saw that there was a witch doctor that threw bones and said, 2017 is going to be a difficult year. I don't think we need that to know that it's going to be a difficult year. And then there's always sincere followers who adhere to all these things. So I would actually would have loved to call them stupid or silly followers. When Paul writes to the people of Galatia, he writes to them out of fear that they will be contaminated by the temple model of worship. He came from that type of worship. He came from that model of worship. He knows exactly what it entitles. So he understands the dangers of this type of worship. And here we have the believers in Galatia, and they found Jesus, and they were doing great. They really were doing great. Paul says they were running a good race until someone came along and told them that they need to be circumcised. And it's not a circumcision itself that Paul has an issue with, but it's with that which comes with it. It's with that that circumcision brings. This is just the start of something. Paul describes it so beautifully in here. And every one of us who knows how bread is baked, we've seen dough before and see how little bit of yeast that you put in dough will make the whole batch of dough rise. You know that yeast is actually a fungus? And what it does to that dough is it's actually fermenting the dough. It's actually making it froth. And you see that you only put a little bit of this in, and it affects the whole batch of dough. You see, Paul knew that the Galatians, if they allowed just this little bit of temple model to come into their faith practice, into their worship, then the whole church of Galatia would be contaminated with all of the law and all of the temple model, not just the circumcision. Just like a tiny little bit of fungus that we call yeast can contaminate the whole batch of dough. Before I say what I'm about to say, I'm going to ask the mummies to cover the ears of their children. Paul is so serious about preventing this from happening that he says that those of you who want to be circumcised should go all the way. He says cut everything off. Why stay with just cutting off a small piece of skin? Masculate yourself, he says. Paul is this serious because he knows that while believers in Galatia has found freedom in Christ, they are now in danger of being enslaved by a model of worship which enslaves those who follow it. They're in danger of getting caught up into something that will control them. And Paul is quite clear. He says, you will not find Christ in the law. You will not find Christ in dead religious practices either. So by now you might wonder why it's so important to hear this message at the beginning of a new year and the beginning of my stint year. Well, let me start by saying that I've seen many new years come and I've seen many of them go. And every year I see people waiting for a new year, excited for the promise it brings. And every year I see people wanting the old year to end. They're tired of it. they just want to see it go away. And most of the times, of course, the expectations and the hope they had at the beginning of the year came to nothing. When Jesus was born, when the Savior took on flesh, he brought with him something that was brand spanking new. Those who loved the temple model thought that the Messiah came to set them free from the Roman yoke. And yes, he did come to set them free. Just as he came to set all of us free along with the rest of humanity. But he came not to set us free from the Romans of this world. No, Jesus came to set us free from sin. To set us free from this yoke of sin, from sin that trapped us like slaves are trapped in slavery. And when he did this, he came and gave us a new covenant. And he also gave a new commandment. He brought a new type of ethic when he came. And he started a brand new movement. A movement that's not based on a temple model of worship. Why then would we hold on to the old? Why then would we like to hold on to temple model worship? Why then, Paul wondered, would the believers in Galatia give away this freedom they received in Christ to be enslaved by a temple model of worship? So my question for us is this: why would we who receive the freedom we have from sin and all that's bad in this world, why would we allow ourselves be trapped in lifeless relationship, a relationship which slaves us instead of setting us free? Why, I wonder, would we complicate our lives with so much luggage, heaping whole bunch of religious things onto our lives, so much religious baggage, when Jesus brought us a simple truth? When Jesus came, the only command he gave us is to love God and love our neighbor. Love God and love one another. Love God and love all those he created and who he loves. The only command, according to Jesus, is love. And what I found fascinating with Paul was, he quotes from Leviticus 19 verse 18. He didn't quote from Jesus' words. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, remember, he said, the only thing you need to do is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But Paul says in verse 14, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is where we have to have absolute trust in Scripture, has been God-inspired. Paul did not conveniently leave out the love your God part of this new commandment. Paul knew this one thing. He knew that you cannot love your neighbor. You cannot love your husband. You cannot love your wife. You cannot love your in-laws. You cannot love your ex or the partner of your ex. And even, do I dare say it? You cannot love Mr. Zuma. If you cannot do this, you cannot love God. If you cannot love Mr. Zuma, you cannot love God. If you cannot love those you dislike or those you would love to hate, if you cannot do that, you are not capable of loving God. For how can you claim to love a God you cannot physically see while you have hate for those he placed around you? How can you claim to love God when you cannot tolerate those he created and those he sent on your way? We as the so-called Christ followers or Christians, we often do great deeds in the name of Christianity, yet we fail to treat the outcast of this world with respect. We love our buildings and we love the mission works and all those things we dedicate to God, but we overlook the vulnerable persons, people that God so inconveniently interrupts our life with. We love to hate. We love to slander. We love to gossip. And we forget that the only command that matters is to love one another. When I start this morning, I've said that we often express our faith in a way in which we practice our religion. And therefore, the way we do church matters a lot to us. And come to think of it, we, in the way we do church, hang on to the temple model. Just look at what I'm wearing this morning, if you don't believe me. But Paul says the only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. Nothing else matters. This new movement, which is started by Jesus, this new movement will never grow old. It will never grow old like this new year will grow old. It will never fade away. It only grows old and becomes a millstone around your neck when you allow a little bit of yeast to come into it. When we make things like buildings and religious practices and sacred men more important than people, that's when we allow yeast to come into it. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. And what that means is that the people around you are more sacred and more holy to Jesus than any of these buildings or anything that we have in here. The people around you are more sacred than this piece of wood. I would like you to turn to the people around you. Turn to somebody next to you. If there's nobody next to you, turn to somebody in front of you, behind you. Look at them. Look at somebody. You need to look at somebody for this. Look in their eyes and know that person is holier to Jesus than any piece of dirt you will ever stand on. Do you realize that? That person is more holy than any piece of dirt or any building or any piece of wood that you will ever come across. The ministry of Jesus was very much based on love for one another and love for people. So as we start a new year, and as this congregation is at the start of a new chapter, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember that the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. And not faith expressing itself through religious practices, but faith expressing itself through love. And this will be the basis of my ministry here. Love is where we will start. For Jesus himself said in John 13, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you." So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We are the disciples of Jesus. And people around us, people out there, will see. They will see this in the way we love one another. Let us pray. Yes, Jesus, this morning we ask only one thing of you. Lord, we ask that you will teach us to love like you have loved. Lord, that you will teach us to hold every person that we set up our eyes upon in the same regard as you would hold him. That, Lord, that everything we will do will be based on love and love alone. Lord, this we ask in the freedom we have, because you have set us free. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship group to come and lead us. It's not a song for offering, but I hope they will play something for us while the offering will be taken.